Good morning. The church gives us this weekend the Feast of Corpus Christi, which it takes a whole weekend and it lifts up for us the feast in which it asks us to look with wonder and worship to Jesus who gives himself to us in the sacramental form of bread and wine. The great gift of the Eucharist, and to look with wonder and worship upon it, that God himself comes to be with us and give himself to us in this most humble of ways. And with this Feast of Corpus Christi, I want to hold up just one aspect of this incredible sacrament, and it's the grace of preparation. Not so much right now our preparation that we make for the Eucharist. That's maybe for another day. You know, the preparation that we're meant to make, to fast for an hour before Mass, so that there's a hunger, even a small little hunger within us, to make sure that we have confessed any mortal sins so we don't receive the sacrament to our own damnation, but that it might be that which purifies us and draws us closer to God. The preparation before Mass in calling to our minds and our hearts who it is that we want to offer this Mass for. You know, at every Mass, a priest has a petition. They'd almost always announce at the Mass, this is who the priest is offering this Mass for. And every Mass that a priest celebrates, there's a petition. You as well, though, do you have an intention for every Mass that you come to because you're given this opportunity to come to this Mass and to lift up in prayer someone living or dead or an intention in the world and the preparation you make coming forward, all those things. That's the preparations that we make. That's for another day. I want to speak, though, instead about the grace of preparation, which is the preparation that God is working. Not what we're doing, but what is the preparation that God is working within us? The one that he desires to work. Because it's one, again, that we can resist, we can be hardened to, or we can be open to and to receive what it is that he's doing. What is God doing within us in this sacrament of the Eucharist? What's he preparing us for? The gospel on this Corpus Christi is one in which it's a gospel of preparation. Jesus, he feeds the vast crowds, 5,000 men, in total number, many more than that, with a few fish and a few loaves. But this miracle is one in which he was preparing the people by feeding their physical hunger with this miracle. He's preparing them for the far greater miracle he was going to work in the Eucharist, in which he would feed not just our bodies, but to feed our hungry souls. And everything within the Mass, all of it is a preparation which is meant to open our hearts, to prepare our souls to receive what God desires to give us at the Mass, which is the Eucharist, which is himself. We begin with repentance. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And then we hear the readings, all of which point to God coming to us and drawing us to him, always, all of Scripture. And a homily, if it's worth anything, it's that it helps to open our heart up just a little bit to receive more fully God who's going to come to us. It's all just a preparation. All of it, it's preparing us. God's preparing us. He's preparing us. He's preparing us for the Eucharist, which that sacrament itself, what that prepares us for is heaven. Heaven is the true presence of God. Heaven is what we're created for. It's eternity. But it's in the presence, the full presence of God. Our hearts, the closer we draw to God, should long for heaven. That we look out and we see in the world how truly fallen it is. We look inside ourselves and we see how incredibly fallen we are. But that isn't a reason for despair or sadness or beating ourselves up. Instead, it's turning to God and longing to be with Him. And He prepares us through the sacrament in which He comes to dwell within us sacramentally so that it can prepare our souls to be with Him. If our soul doesn't have that, we're not prepared, we're not ready for heaven. It's the modern lie, everyone, that there's so much in the world that's convinced us that, yeah, basically everyone's prepared for heaven. We're all prepared for heaven. We're all basically going there, except for those really, really evil people. They're just, you know, they're there. But most everybody, we're all prepared for heaven. This is not true. It's just not true, face value. I can look in my own soul. I'm like, for me to say, yeah, I'm prepared for heaven, how arrogant would I have to be? I would have to be so toxically arrogant to be like, yeah, I'm ready for heaven. I long for it. I desire heaven more and more each year, probably each day. But I know the truth, too. I'm not prepared for heaven. That's like me coming forward to receive the Eucharist and saying, Lord, I am worthy to receive you. It's ridiculous, right? And we don't pray that. The church gives us the prayer of this centurion. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you. I'm not worthy. But you, just say the word. Say the word that I might be healed and that I might be able to receive you. So that your Eucharist, so that your very presence within me might prepare something in me to be ready to be with you for eternity. Receiving the Eucharist, when you receive it and you receive it worthily, is as close to heaven on this earth as you will ever be. It is as close. The second graders, when they're preparing for their first Eucharist, there's an image that I show them, and it's what this preparation looks like. And I use it in a teaching moment. I call them down, they're all sitting there, and I come and they go circle around here. Because I'm teaching them, you know, okay, here's the two different ways the church gives us to be able to receive the Eucharist, and explain receiving in the hand and the importance of that, of what it means to receive of Him upon the throne. And I use this image here to explain the beauty and the power of receiving Jesus in the Eucharist upon the tongue. And it's the image which you see here and spoken about before, and you know, it's with the pelican. The pelican and its children. It represents the love of God. Because the pelican, in the time of famine, to save its young, it will take and with its own beak, pick of its own flesh and blood, and give its flesh and blood to its young that they might have life. It represents Jesus upon the cross and in the Eucharist. He who comes to us and gives His flesh and blood to us that we might have life. And then you point to the little three baby pelicans down below. And that's what you come and what you stand upon every time you receive the Eucharist. That's what it looks like. That's the preparation that God is working within us to receive the Eucharist, and to be able to receive heaven. It's the little baby pelicans. Which, what are they? They're helpless, they're completely dependent, and they are hungry. They're hungry. And they're looking intently at the one who can feed them, the one who can save them. This is what God is working with on us when he's preparing us to receive him now and to be able to receive him for eternity. He prepares us for heaven by bringing us to a true point where we realize truly how helpless we are without him who feeds us and gives us strength, without him who we completely depend upon, and without him who knows exactly what we need. One last thing. You know, you think of your own life, and we look at our lives, and they're so complex, right? And in a lot of ways, in many ways, they are. Our lives are complicated, they're complex. But God is simple. We make our lives really complex, but God, this is actually theological truth, it's the simplicity of the divine being of God. To give you an example, when I was in my last year of preparation for the priesthood, a priest was explaining to us, you know, you're getting ready for the priesthood, to be a priest, and there's so many complicated things, and there's a lot of stuff that comes at you really quick. But remember, the most simple things that God gives us because he knows what we need. And if you hold on to these simple things, it will be more than what you need because God knows what we need and he gives it to us. And so for a priest to have a love for Jesus in the Eucharist and a love for Mary, our mother, if you hold on to those two, he will feed you and he will give you what you need. And this, of course, is borne out the entire truth. If there's a day in which, by God's grace, able to, at the very beginning of the day, to spend an hour in adoration with him and to pray the rosary, everything else that's needed in that day, he gives me then. What do I need? He knows what I need, and he desires to give it to me. What do you need in your life that is so complex, it's so complicated? The Lord knows what you need, and here's the thing, he desires to give that to you. More than you want it, he desires to give that to you, everything that you need. It's why you begin your week. Your week starts now. Sunday, the day of the Eucharist, is the very beginning of the week. Why? Because the Lord desires to give to you and continually give to you everything that you need in this coming week. There's a saying that somebody said one time that if you don't get Sunday right, you don't have a chance to get the rest of the week right. That's the truth. That we come before him knowing we're not worthy, but yet he calls us, and that he desires to give us everything that prepares us for this week, and what's more, what prepares us for heaven. May he take our hearts at this Mass. May he open them as he prepares to feed them and give them every grace that they need for this day, for this coming week, and for eternity, to be with him forever in heaven.